This is past.
Yeah. So, start over.
Yeah. It's.
I'll try again. Okay, here we go.
And now
this is Passport.
Passport.
Two.
Identity.
Yeah. Wait, session what?
5.
All right. So I was reading this book, Surprised by Joy, which C.S. Lewis wrote about his childhood, kind of his autobiography. You know C.S. Lewis, that guy that wrote all the Chronicles of Narnia books, like The Lion, The Witch, and The Wardrobe. You might have seen the movie. So I was reading his book, and I ran across something in it that really surprised me. You see, as a kid, he loved to read books and make up characters and languages even, and he would share those with his brother. And he even wrote his first story when he was 7 years old. He loved this stage of life. It was fun and creative and everything a young boy could imagine. But then his mother passed away and he was sent off to boarding school. And when he got there, he noticed pretty quickly that it was the athletic boys that were the most popular in school. All right, but he knew he didn't have an athletic bone in his body. Seeing all this about C.S. Lewis, it really got me to thinking, what if C.S. Lewis, now, he's a guy whose books have sold some 200 million copies. I mean, the movies based on Chronicles of Narnia, they've brought in over $1.5 billion. His textbooks, they're still used in top universities today. This is an incredibly successful guy. So what if that young, unathletic boy in boarding school, what if he would have started rejecting his love for literature or his love for writing and languages? What if he would have really just disdained that about himself to try to fit in? Think about the tragedy of that. We might never have had Narnia or any of his other books like the Space Trilogy or my favorite, Mere Christianity. I mean, these are works that have profoundly shaped many Christians. And so I began to think about myself and wonder, well, how am I trusting God to use the gifts and talents he's given me? I mean, even if those aren't the things that make someone popular, but he's given me certain gifts for a reason. And I began to really delight in that for the first time. So what we want to explore today is this. What Narnias might be lurking in you? Now, I don't necessarily mean a book that you might write someday. But what unique things does God have in store for you? How has he uniquely wired you as a person? What is that mission in life he has for you? And how is that a part of your identity as an individual? Now, here's the exciting part. You don't have to wait around another 10 years to start figuring all this out. In fact, these years right now, these are some of the most exciting in your life for learning who you are and trying great things. Now, that might not be the message you're hearing. In fact, a lot of people, they tend to look down on the teen years.
You know, very often we look at the teen years as being dark and undoable. And we have this survivalist mentality. We just hope we can get through, not drug addicted, not in jail, and we still have our sanity.
This is author Paul Tripp.
And I think the opposite is true. I think these are years of unique opportunity, greater responsibility, wider geography, wider circle of friends and responsibilities. It's a time of wonderful, wonderful opportunity.
You know, the temptation that you're likely facing, because I know I sure did at your age, is to see these years as a time to just coast. You coast through school, maybe have a little part-time job that you do, or some church stuff on the side. But otherwise, it's kind of just passively wandering through life.
Well, my parents made it very clear as I entered the teen years that the teen years were not a vacation from responsibility.
But this is Alex Harris. He and his brother Brett wrote a book called Do Hard Things. And they wrote that book because they wanted to challenge teens to take on big tasks, to do big things. But here's the interesting part. They wrote that book when they were teens.
The teen years were a time when I could accomplish something important. They were not a time to just goof off and have fun before real life started after high school or after college or after you're married with kids. You know, life starts now. You're living life right now and you're making decisions and you're gaining momentum and, you know, this is the launching pad and you're going to decide right now what direction your life is going to take. my understanding of responsibility is always that it's a muscle. It's a muscle that has to be worked out. And until you work it out, it's not there. You know, and if you're not working it out, it's not just static, it's getting weaker. You know, the Bible says, if you're faithful in the little things, I'll put you over greater things. And that's not a call to a boring life, that's a call to a more and more exciting life. And the earlier you start developing that responsibility, the earlier you start being faithful, the sooner those bigger opportunities come along.
God has a unique calling for your life, and He wants to use you in some amazing ways right now, not 5 years from now or 10 years from now, but right now. And that's really what this whole session is about. We want to help you learn God's unique design for your life so that you can live it out. But before we get too far into exploring your design, we want to kind of take a step aside for a moment and talk about a few things that can derail you. And this isn't a complete list, but we're going to hit some of the big ones. Drugs and alcohol. Time wasters like video games. And then we'll talk about pornography. All right, the first thing we want to talk about is substance abuse. Drug and alcohol addiction. So, you're 14, 15, 16, and, you know, I'm sure you've heard all the messages. Don't drink. Don't do drugs. Just don't. It's not good for you. Stay away from it. And look, all that's true. But here's what I want to say that I hope's a little different. Because you know what's happening. I know what's happening. But I want to try and give you some of the reasons why. Why do you need to be careful here? I always like hearing the why behind something when people tell me to do something. That way I can really engage my mind and heart and not just avoid it because they said I should. So I was in Rwanda one time, and Rwanda is a small country. It's in East Africa. I was there teaching at a Bible college, and every day the director of the school, he would come and pick me up in the guest house where I was staying. And we'd drive out to the countryside where the little Bible college was, where I was teaching. And so we had this long car ride together, and we'd discuss a lot of different things. Well, one day during the drive, he just asked me, "So what do you think about alcohol?" Now, I had a friend who told me before going there, "You need to be careful around this topic. It's pretty sensitive for the people you'll be teaching." So I was trying to be careful. Now, some people would say, "Look, you shouldn't even touch it. Don't go near alcohol." Others would say, "All right, just be responsible. It's okay." But again, I wanted to try to go to the deeper question of why. So I went to 1 Corinthians 6:12, and I shared that verse with him, and it says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything." So the point I made to him, and the point I want you to hear now, is that you can't just evaluate alcohol on whether it's lawful or permissible or not. Because right now, at 15 years old, for you, alcohol isn't lawful. But someday, when you're 21, it will be lawful. And honestly, whether it's lawful or not, that's not stopping a lot of guys from drinking underage. So you need to be able to think about alcohol in a way that helps you now and later. And really, it's the last part of this verse that addresses it, where it says, "I will not be mastered by anything." And so the question becomes, is alcohol, or drugs, or anything for that matter, is it mastering you? Is it exercising control over your life? It really all goes back to what we were talking about in session 3, about the issue of the governing authority in your life. What will rule over you and direct you? For a number of people, alcohol and drugs, they tend to struggle with these. They tend to become easily enslaved. Now, not everyone, but many do. And look, I don't think anyone who starts out drinking or doing drugs says to themselves, "Boy, I hope I become enslaved to this someday." No. Look, people start out because they genuinely like the way it makes them feel.
The reason why people get sucked into drugs is because it feels good.
This is Brian Goins. He's a pastor and an author, and he's done some research on how drugs and alcohol affect the brain.
So you do heroin, you do cocaine, you do marijuana. Well, that all feels good. Well, what's happening is that dopamine is getting released at a much higher rate than like...
Whoa, dopamine? What's that?
Well, dopamine is a monoamine neurotransmitter formed in the brain by the decarboxylation of DOPA,
Oh, yeah. So it's like a chemical in the brain that makes you feel good. Gotcha. Thank you.
Dopamine is getting released at a much higher rate than like running or chocolate. It's like a flood. Your brain is getting blitzed with dopamine, and it feels really, really good. The problem with drugs and with alcohol, with cocaine, all that kind of stuff, is that it floods it in such a way that it brings it up to real, real high, and then it just drops you low after it's done. And then your body starts craving that again. So it doesn't return it back to its normal level. And so that's how people get addicted, is that they keep going and chasing the high.
So I've got this friend right now who is really struggling with alcohol. He would even say he's enslaved. You know, there's all these things he wants to do with his life, and he's in the prime of life. He's in medical school, but he's struggling. And he's struggling because most days he'll get up and he'll start drinking at breakfast. And that might turn into being drunk for a couple of days, and he finds his life controlled by the bottle. Now, I'm not saying that will be you because you take a drink. Please don't hear that. But you just need to be wise with this. Be very careful, because alcohol and drugs are both very addictive and they can easily enslave you. And that's not where you want to be. I want to challenge you to make up your mind right now that drinking and drugs, they're going to be off limits for you in this season of life. There are a lot of guys who know from experience that if you mess around with drinking and drugs as a teenager, you're a whole lot more likely to end up being mastered by them. And when drugs or alcohol get a hold of you, they can destroy your life. Okay, so drugs and alcohol, those can definitely derail you. Now, there's some other things we're going to talk about. This is kind of the second one on our list that aren't as obvious as something like drugs and alcohol, but they can definitely derail you. And that's all kinds of time wasters. You know, we live in this age of the internet and information everywhere and instant entertainment, and there's just so many things that you can waste your time on.
Sorry, what was that? I was busy watching this cat video. He tried to jump from the table to the window. He didn't even come close.
So you have to choose wisely with your time, because you want to use it well. You want to have the time to accomplish something great. Now, for many guys your age, the big temptation to waste time is video games. Now, don't freak out. We're not saying video games are evil. But we do want to give you a little bit of wisdom so that your life doesn't end up consumed by them, so that you don't end up addicted. You know, we've already talked about how drugs and alcohol affect your brain. And the interesting thing here is that video games, they kind of do the same thing. Here's Kurt Bruner. He wrote the book PlayStation Nation.
20 minutes of video game play is the equivalent of taking an amphetamine. Now imagine doing that day after day, over and over and over. You have a drug addiction, because the dopamine levels that are infused onto the brain from playing video games is unlike what occurs in other activities. God designed real life always to have a point of excitement and culmination and rest. That's true in athletics. There's a winner and a loser, and the game is over. That's true in sexual relationships, in healthy sexual relationships, in marriage, to where you have the culmination and the thrill and the ecstasy, and then a rest. But you think about sexual addiction, it's an ever-increasing desire, as C.S. Lewis said, ever-increasing desire for ever-diminishing satisfaction. It's this ongoing process that never brings you to a point of rest. Video games are designed to never end, to always have another level to go to never have winner-loser, but rather a whole nother complex twist that keeps you consumed with going further and further and further. And that's not the way God designed us for real life. And that leads to the hypertension, that leads to the addictive patterns, and frankly, the lack and loss of joy and satisfaction in life, which is one of our greatest concerns, is that these young men and some young women are missing out on what life was made to be because of this consumption and this compulsion. What men were made for, these games provide an artificial replacement without the risk, without the self-sacrifice.
I get so into my games that time really kind of disappears. There were some times, though, you know, where I could get away with it and, you know, I'd do 8 or 13 hours or something worth of games.
I'll play every now and then, a couple hours every day, maybe.
I felt like I had to play at least, you know, 2 hours block, at least to feel like, yeah, okay, I actually got moved forward and did something.
We're called to heroic self-sacrifice, right? With a wife, with children, with whatever the Lord calls us to. And to accomplish things. Those are God-given drives within the male psyche.
I eat and play video games. I can't complain about that lifestyle. But as far as marriage, I could do without that.
Well, in video games, all of those, the call to adventure, the call to accomplishment, are all satisfied with no risk.
These really are some of the most amazing years of your life. And so by bringing up this topic, we just want to help make sure you're able to enjoy them to the fullest and to make the most of them. So watch out for time wasters, because they can rob you of some great opportunities God has for you. Okay, so that's time wasters. Now, the last thing we want to talk about in this list of things that can derail you, that can rob your identity, is porn or pornography. And I think most guys know it. Porn's not good. It's not good for you. It's not good for society. It's not good for the women who are involved in it. We know that. But yet it's highly addictive. Kind of like drugs and alcohol.
Now that we can scan the brain, we're seeing that a brain that's on porn scans exactly like a brain on heroin or cocaine. And it affects the same reward center. If I were to look at a pornographic image, my brain is getting flooded with that same dopamine, and it makes me feel good. But when I stop looking at it, the high wears off, and I start craving it again. What porn does is that because it releases dopamine, and it combines that with the sexual act, like with masturbation or something like that, another chemical is released in the brain called oxytocin. Oxytocin is a bonding chemical, and it bonds you to that fantasy.
You know, God has put these chemicals in your brain for a good reason, and that's to help you make a deep emotional bond and connection with your wife someday. But if you're bonding to porn now, man, it's going to be that much more difficult for you to bond to a real person.
So I was speaking to a group of guys, and one guy came up to me and he said, yeah, I said, this is exactly what happened to a friend of mine, is that he was 25 years old, he got married. This guy was a virgin, he had saved himself for marriage, but when he came to his wedding night, he actually could not get aroused. He could not have an erection with the woman that he was supposed to be with. And that's disappointing for both people, not just him, but it affects his now bride. And now he's also got to come clean with why. And in that moment, he didn't understand why until a doctor came in, a counselor came in and said, well, have you been looking at porn? Because that's what the counselor's going to ask. Because counselors and therapists and doctors now understand how this works, that your greatest sexual organ is your brain. And when you train your brain to be aroused and sexually aroused by pornography, it actually affects your penis. It actually affects your other sexual organs in ways that you don't even realize. And that's what the enemy's great at doing. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. And he's going to convince you that it's good and end up stealing something from you that's really valuable and what you really want. So don't make that trade. Don't make that exchange.
Porn is a lie. It's a deception. It's not reality. And it will lead to serious consequences in your life, like a horrible wedding night. Ugh. But look, porn doesn't just affect your wedding night. I mean, there are very real consequences now. Most guys looking at porn, they don't feel good about themselves right now. They know it's not right. They know it's not honoring to God or that person in the picture or in the video. And so it grates on their conscience and on their soul, and they're conflicted. So porn, it's sinful and it's unhealthy for you. So I think guys, especially Christian guys who are wrestling with this, they wonder, how can I win? How do I resist temptation in this area? In fact, I think most guys feel pretty defeated here, like it's impossible to keep from lusting.
Do not think you can do it on your own. It is the biggest lie you ever tell yourself.
This is Heath Lambert, author of the book, Finally Free.
Do something bold. Do something courageous. Tell your dad. Tell your pastor. Tell an older, wiser mentor, an older, wiser friend who you look at them and you say, you know what, this person could be able to help me. That's scary. It freaks a lot of people out because sin loves to hide in the dark, but the Bible promises that when we expose the darkness to the light, change begins. The reality is you fight to see what you love. And until you love something better than porn, you'll always fight to look at it. And so the fight to look away from porn is the fight to love something better than you love porn. The most beautiful reality in the universe, the most beautiful person that exists is Jesus Christ. When young guys can behold him and his glory and look at his cross and see his love poured out for us, then porn loses its power. The beauty, the allure of it is dwarfed and made ugly by the beauty of Jesus Christ.
This is a battle worth fighting. It is worth pursuing purity. And we do it for God's glory and for your own protection. Now, some of you, you're listening to this and you're already in deep. You've been consuming porn for years. And here's what I want to say to you today. I want to give you hope. You may be filled with shame and guilt. It may even be hard to look up right now. But there is no better time than now to get free. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. You no longer need to submit to a yoke of slavery." But look, this is risky stuff. There's no doubt about that. But that's what men do. Men do risky things for God's glory. That is the definition of courage, taking risks for the glory of God. But sin grows in the dark. And so today is a great day for you to take a step toward freedom and to bring that sin out into the light. This is a great time to talk about it. And this is a safe place. You're away with your dad or some other man who loves you and cares deeply about you, and they can relate to what you're going through. So go ahead and pause the audio and discuss the questions we have for you on page 66 in your journal, and we'll see you back in a few minutes.